I'm from South Dakota State University, and I'd like to talk to you about part of what's happening in our lab. This is part of my master's program. What I would like to do first is just to introduce you to the three concepts that had helped us to form this hypothesis. I'm a soil microbiologist, and I'm looking at how the soil microbes are affected by land spread. What we know of the soil microbial community, it's very diverse. It has bacteria, archaea, and certainly the eukaryota. It's complex activity that we all know, nutrient cycling, just to name a few, decomposition of organic matter, and nutrient cycling and the nitrogen cycle. Certainly there are many benefits to it in agriculture. Degrades herbicides is one that I'd like to touch upon as one of the functions of our soil microbial community, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in the next few slides. Aggregate stability and certainly soil fertility. So our first component is the soil microbial community. Secondly, I'd like to talk about the use of antibiotics and the antimicrobials. Certainly we're all familiar with antibiotics as far as human health is concerned. There are certainly many antibiotics that are used today. One of them is the tetracycline, TET for short in this talk. Swine feed additives are certainly another common use of antibiotics. They're used for herd health and growth promotion. Certainly that's not just limited to swine activity. Producers use it for turkey and cattle. In our study, we're looking at how it, in particular, is affiliated with swine. One of those common antibiotics is chlorotetracycline, which you'll hear me speak about further. I abbreviated as CTC throughout this talk. And so the third component that brings these three together is the impact of manure. So first we talked about the soil microbes, the antibiotics, now the impact of manure. Certainly it's agricultural uses. We're seeing more biosolids being used, certainly the swine manure as well. There are many benefits, adding nutrients certainly. And I put waste in parens. I'm sorry, Dr. Clay. Certainly we think of waste as biosolid waste, but certainly we don't use, it's not a waste. We can certainly utilize it in part of our agricultural uses. We can recycle. And certainly there are some concerns that researchers are showing that in biosolids we're finding not only antibiotics, but we're also seeing all kinds of like nicotine and caffeine as well. 90% of the antibiotic CTC has been recovered in swine manure even after it's been held in slurries, or slurry pit. So the chemical's virtually unchanged. So this is certainly a concern, a growing concern. So we had the soil microbes, the antibiotics, and then the manure that may contain those antibiotics. And those three components helped us to determine the hypothesis that the CTC that's found in the swine manure can certainly, we believe, may affect the soil microbial biodiversity, not only what's living in the soil, those organisms, but then certainly their function. How to answer some of those questions, or that particular question, is just to set up the field study. This was done in Brookings County, which is on the eastern side of South Dakota. We used two groups of juvenile swine from our swine unit. Two diets were fed. One had the no antibiotic feed additive, one certainly did, using standard rations. The manure was collected 5 days after initial feeding for a homogenized mix. The manure samples were then applied to a randomized plot design. We did four replications, and this plot, this field was just outside of, like I said, outside of Brookings, where the university is located. And it did have a history of atrazine use, another herbicide, approximately 10 years ago. The soil treatment. So I know that in my initial abstract, it did mention biosolids, but due to time's sake, I'm only focusing on the swine manure. Hopefully I'll have that published, and then I can have data for you for the biosolids as well shortly. The soil treatments, but I do want to mention that the biosolids was a concurrent study along with the swine manure. Soil treatments, including the controls, as you can see on the left-hand side, we just had the soil, soil then with manure, soil plus CTC found in the manure, and then on your right-hand side, to help us determine possible function issues with the microbes, a 2,4-D, a commonly used herbicide in South Dakota, was added to the same the soil samples. So we had 6 different soil treatments. 5 grams of each soil was taken on the day of treatment, and then 7, 28, and 42 days after. Sampling depth was 0 to 2 centimeters. So I was looking at just basically aerobic organisms in the soil. So just a simple flow chart. Here's your soil sample, 5 grams. When you look at the left-hand side, you're seeing a culturing analysis performed rather immediately. I'll go into both of those procedures, the MPN density of the 2,4-D degrading bacteria and the R2A plates, but I just want to let you know that these are both looking at aerobic counts, and they are certainly performed in the lab. Now, there are limitations, and so we're not seeing the full range of all of the organisms in the soil. So in order to get a better view of all the organisms in the soil, we did a molecular approach as well. That included PCR, DGGE, which is a denaturing gradient gel electrophoresis, which I'll talk about in a moment as well, and then also a phylogenetic analysis, which I'll get into shortly. So initially, the culturing techniques, like I said, this is kind of a limited approach. We can only do this in the lab. We're looking at aerobic counts. The MPN, or it's also called the most probable number, we utilized a 3-tube procedure. What we're looking at here is the broth that we used was a 2,4-D herbicide minimal broth. So if those organisms from the soil, if they could utilize a 2,4-D, the herbicide, as their sole carbon source, we were able to detect the turbidity and growth and measure that. R2A spread plates is an auger-based analysis. It's an auger plate, very minimal media. This is a very limited information, but we were able to compare the results within certain treatments and see differences. On the molecular side, initially the soil samples, it takes a while to do the lab technique. So this soil was frozen and then rethawed for the DNA extraction. I'm really excited. I had the opportunity to be at this conference and speak with Larry Feinstein. He's from Kent State University. He is also working on a technique. He had a poster presentation, and he was working on DNA extracts as well, and has optimized the DNA extraction from soil, which if any of you are going on to do such research, you should really talk to him. He's doing really great work. So the DNA, all of the DNA that's available in the soil was extracted through a kit. I modified the protocol by using a bead beater. That DNA extraction was then used as my template for a PCR polymerized chain reaction. Here we're focusing on we amplified the V3 region of the 16S R DNA gene, and then we added a GC clamp addition, just adding GC that has a higher melting point, the GC rather than the AT. The PCR product was then used for a DGGE analysis. You'll see on the right-hand side, I'm just showing just simple pictures, confirmation of the products that were obtained. I'd like to show you results for the CFU, which is the colony forming units. This is kind of hard to read, and there's a lot of information. I just want to say that this is a summer. We did both a summer treatment, and then we also did a fall treatment. The summer was hot and dry, fall was cooler and wet, and we're just seeing an overall trend of no effects on the cultural counts of the antibiotics in the manure. Same goes for the fall. Here for the results for the MPN, this is where we're categorizing the 2,4-D, degrading the function of those microorganisms to degrade the 2,4-D herbicide. What's interesting is you'll see the soil treatments that did not have the 2,4-D amended to it certainly have lower counts than the ones on the right, which have the 2,4-D amendment, kind of giving those organisms a jump start. The same results are for the fall. I'm going to do some conclusions on those two that you just saw. So the MPN results show that 2,4-D degrading bacteria present at day zero are approximately 5 to the 10 to the 4th colony forming units per gram, and the density of the 2,4-D degrading bacteria increased in the presence of the 2,4-D treatment. In the presence of manure, however, regardless if it was CTC added or not, the density of the 2,4-D degrading bacteria was impeded, and this is probably because of the nitrogen. I think we're familiar that manure can inhibit the degradation functions of microorganisms. Initial culturing, that's the R2A spread plates, showed little effect of antibiotics on the aerobic culturable counts and density of the 2,4-D degrading organisms. This is just the aerobic counts. So to get the full picture, I'm really excited about this. This is the DGGE. Now here's a lot of information on here. I know it's hard to see, but this is giving us a full and complete picture now of the organisms that are in that soil treatment, and we can actually detect. Do I have a pointer? I do. Okay, we can detect shifts in those microorganism communities by the different treatments that we have. So you'll see banding patterns where you don't see banding patterns, and so it's a really exciting picture now that we can actually see of the soil and now compare them within treatments. I have certainly worked very hard on trying to achieve a DGGE. I don't have true results for you as far as analysis of this. We're working on a computer program that helps us analyze this. And also we're in the process of doing some phylogenetic tree. So hopefully look for some publications that come out shortly. So for future work, I'm continuing with the molecular side, completing the DGGE fingerprints, and then finally going through the DNA sequencing of some of those bands that you saw to help us identify possibly to the family or genus level of what those organisms really are. And then I just would like to acknowledge Dr. Sharon Clay for mentoring me through this process, additional friends and co-workers in the lab, and this is funded by an EPA grant. So thank you.